Okay, if your Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 19. A very good morning to all of you. Luke 13, 10 to 19. Okay, we are going to read slowly and try to understand this whole story. And he, which was Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And these stupid rulers of the synagogue. And the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And say unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. Then Jesus answered him and said, you hypocrites, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to wandering? And ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And when they said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then he said, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Father, I pray that you just anoint me, help me to share this word. Anoint me right now in the name of Jesus, and anoint your people to receive the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to talk about Jesus the bondage breaker. Jesus the bondage breaker. Let's go to the background. This was a different Sabbath for that little Jewish community. It's very interesting. If you go to every country of the world, you will see the synagogue. Okay, I saw a synagogue in Singapore, and it's very interesting. You see that it is quite very quiet, and people will go and come in and come out, and they will be wearing, you know, the Jewish clothes. Okay, and this was just this little Jewish community, and it was on a Sabbath, unlike any other Sabbath they experienced. This story was written so that we can believe. This story was written so that we all can believe, increase the level of faith, actually increase our little mustard seed of faith, which is enough. A little mustard seed of faith is enough in Jesus, and experience the breaking of bondages in our life. Okay, verse 10 tells us that now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. You will notice that Jesus goes from synagogue to synagogue on the Sabbath. He goes to synagogue, on the Sabbath. And he was in one of these synagogues. Luke 14, 16 says, as his custom was. That is the normal routine of Jesus. Clearly indicated that Jesus regularly goes to worship. I want to tell you that we need to go to church every Sunday. If Jesus needs to go to synagogue every Sunday, Saturday, we need to go to church every Sunday. Jesus did not skip the gathering of God's people. You notice that he will go to synagogue. He followed the system, he followed the ways of God. God produces the synagogue. So Jesus follows the will of God by going to the synagogue. And now God produces the church. And we have to obey the will of God by going to church on the Sunday. For Christian, it is the church. For the Jews, it is the synagogue on Saturday. For us, it is on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. What can we learn from this portion of scripture? Number one, Jesus the great teacher. Now let's read Luke 4, 15, 21. And he taught in their synagogues, plural, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Pastor Lily said, the favor of the Lord. Luke 4:15 says, and he taught in their synagogues, plural. It was custom of Jesus to go to synagogue. As I say again, you need to go to church. What did he do in the synagogue? He read from the Torah. Ours is the Bible, theirs is the Torah. They don't have the New Testament. The Jews don't have the New Testament. We have the Torah and we have the New Testament. We have them put together called the Bible. They read from the Torah. Not only he read the Word of God, he preached the Word of God. Not only he preached the Word of God, he demonstrated the Word of God. This should be the Word of God preached from the pulpit. We must demonstrate it. We must demonstrate the Word of God. Why? Because we want to set captives those who are, we want to set free those who are captives. So that people can experience miracles. The church is a place of miracles. There was, in this incident, a supernatural application of the Word of Jesus in a real life situation at that moment. This is what should happen in the church. The text Jesus read from point to the functions of the synagogue or the role of the church. Today, the text is a prophetic message for the church. Jesus intentionally went to the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 and 2 to point to a specific prophecy that is actually the function of the church. It is the promise of what God will do in the church for the people that come to church. Why? So that there will be an anointing for the task. There is a declaration of missions and anointing. Each line of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 and 2 point to a different part of Jesus' missions to the church. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the first line. There will be anointing in accordance with the Word of God preached. There will be an anointing according to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. There will be anointing to do something for individual beings in the church. To preach the gospel to the poor. In a church, even in a church, Jesus offers salvation. Jesus offers forgiveness. Jesus offers hope. Hope for you in the church. To heal the brokenhearted. There are peoples in the church that are brokenhearted. Jesus wants to restore those who are wounded by sin, wounded by loss, wounded by despair of life. Jesus mends life. He mends up life. He forgave. He forgave. He comforted. And he restored. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Set people free from bondages. Free from guilt. Some of you, you are troubled by something continual in your life, and every once in a while the guilt will come up to the memory of your mind. Jesus said, I forgive. From guilt, fear, mental health issues, demonic oppression, and even demonic possession. I know that there are people that say, can Christian be possessed? Well, I was in a church, in my church, ex-church. I was sitting in a congregation and we were worshipping like today. And the guy that was beside me started to manifest, started to scream. I pulled him out of the church to the porch and prayed for him. Demonic possession. Recovery of the sight to the blind. Physical and spiritual sight. Jesus healed and opened spiritual truth. You know, many a times our eyes are blinded. We don't see the truth. You hear the Word of God, but you cannot see the truth. You see the Rhema, the Logos. You only hear the Logos. You only hear the Logos, which is the Word of God. But there is no enlightenment. There is no illumination. There is no Rhema to the Word of God that will set you free. Recovery of the sight to the blind. Jesus opened spiritual eyes to the truth concerning your situation. to set at liberty those who are oppressed, deliverance from injustice, spiritual chain, poverty. He broke the power of Satan and oppression. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Pastor Lily called it the favor of the Lord. Year of Jubilee. Times of freedom. A times of freedom and restoration. Jesus brings the ultimate Jubilee in our life. What is Jubilee? Forgiveness. Release. A new beginning. A new favor of God. Do you know that the year of the Lord, if you study properly, it's very, very interesting. If you know the Old Testament, Jesus said that He will come on this day. And Jesus came on that day, 2,000 years ago. But do you know that time stopped for the Jews? For 2,000 years, time stopped. So they couldn't understand. The first coming of Jesus to the second coming, the time stopped. It's like, no more time has been there. And that is the year of Jubilee. Until today, it is still the time stopping for the favor of the Lord upon the church, upon the people of the world. Then when the 7 years tribulation comes, then the time begins again. You don't believe, you can study. It's a very interesting thing. The acceptable year of the Lord has been in operation for 2,000 years. God, Jesus stopped that time. For 2,000 years so that we can have the favor of the Lord. We can have the year of Jubilee. We can have a new beginning for so many people in this world. Number two. Satan, the tormentor. Verse 11 says, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. The number 18 in the Bible has a biblical significance. It carries the meaning of bondage and oppression. This woman was in bondage and oppression for 18 years. You also carry, the 18 also carry the time of deliverance and freedom when Jesus intervened, when God intervened. That's the meaning of 18. Oppression and bondage. But deliverance and freedom when Jesus intervened. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and in could no way raise herself up. Like that. I do not see bent over people in the Philippines. But I saw a lot of bent over women in Singapore. A very sad sight. There's a spiritual truth of bent over women in Singapore. I will call it a prophetic picture. Every time I see them, there is a sadness, a troubled heart when I see these people in Singapore. I mean, they are old and they are bent over. They walk, they cannot come out. To be honest, if I am troubled, how much more is God troubled? The interesting part is that I see them only in Singapore, a first world country, and I seldom see one in the Philippines, a third world country. I mean, it reveals profound truth about bondages. This woman was bent over for 18 years. 18 years. It's not 1 year, 18 years. 18 years of bondage, 18 years of oppression. Note the length of the bondage. She was unable to stand upright. Her physical conditions mirror a spiritual reality. She was bent over 18 years. What is bent over? Oppressed. Burdened. Unable to look up to heaven. I think in the Philippines, when you are in trouble, you don't have bent over people. You go to a Catholic church, though imperfect church it is, and look up to heaven. That's why you don't have bent over. But when in Singapore, when they're in trouble, they don't turn to God. They don't. They depend on their own effort and find a solution. Even Christian, to ask for help is a shame. It's a shame in Singapore. It is all self-effort. Self-improvement, self-work, self-effort. And if they cannot find solution, which many of them are, they commit suicide. They jump over from the flat. They go to the reservoir and drown themselves. Or they isolate themselves in the home. They get away from society, they isolate themselves in the home. It is a very common sight to hear news of senior, single citizens of Singapore who live alone in their apartment and died while they are alone in their apartment, and they were only discovered a few days later because the foul smell of those of that dead body begin to spread along the balcony. It is not an unusual. It is a, you know, Pastor Christine, you know, the sister died like that. My ex-church wife, the pastor's wife, also the sister died like that in the house. Okay? Alone, in the house alone. Bend over. 18 years is a long season. Some of you, I want to tell you something. You've been in your conditions for 18 years. Suffering. You could no way raise yourself up. Represents your inability to free yourself from sin. Free yourself from demonic oppression. Free yourself from even demonic possession. Only Jesus can break that bondage. I do not see bent over people in the Philippines, but I see obesity among the people in the Philippines, especially Iloilo City. Okay, every time I drive around, that is another prophetic picture. It's very interesting, okay, you go to a country, you see something that is commonly, that is a prophetic picture that God is trying to tell you about that country. What is obesity? It reflects the inner life of a person. The person has a spirit of heaviness. And the spirit of heaviness causes that person to eat a lot. The person has burdened desires. And therefore he or she has unchecked appetites. It symbolizes overindulgence. Spiritual sluggishness did not take care of the spiritual life. And unprocessed pain. There's a lot of pain in that person's life. Hurt that the person cannot face up to, and hurt that has not been healed. Hurt that has not been healed. Jesus later says in verse 16 that Satan had bound her. See, Jesus pointed to the culprit. Your problem, most of the time, is the culprit to Satan. This is not just what you're having, it's not just a medical problem, it is a spiritual bondage. Her acute sclerosis was not just a natural condition, but a spiritual one. One of the things that is always clear about the story of Jesus in the gospel is that Jesus is good, he went about doing good, but there is, however, an enemy who is also the author of sickness and suffering. So, verse 16 says, so ought not this woman been the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound? Ought not you, a child of the living God, whom Satan had bound, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath? I mean, I want you to think carefully. If Jesus was not there, and the woman did not attend church, these two must come together. The woman, Satan would have kept her bound until the day she died. Until the day she died. There are millions, even in the church, that has been kept bound for decades. Even when they went to the church, until they went to the coffin. And it's a very sad thing. This is how cruel the devil is. The devil is a very cruel being. He will never let you loose. He will never let you loose. He's not a gentleman. Even your child of God, if he knows that you do not know the principle of the Bible, you do not know your authority, you do not know your rights, he's not a gentleman. He's never a gentleman. He will never let you loose. Jesus has to open our eyes, your spiritual eyes, to the truth that not everything that happened to you on earth is God's will. There's another Asian at work. Jesus says, Satan cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Understand the purpose that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He said, he went about healing all who were oppressed from the devil, because God was with him. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When Pastor Lily gave a spiritual download last Sunday on Lazarus, even though told by Jesus to come out of the grave, he come out bound. Come out bound. He come out bound. He's bound. He cannot walk. It was not a mistake. It was a message. The grave clothes, the wrap around him, represent the old life, the habits, the thoughts, the bondages, the fear, the limitation that cling to you, even though you are spiritually raised to life. There are many in this condition. We are born again, yet we are restricted by past behavior, even fears. We cannot walk fully. We cannot walk fully in a new purpose of life. We cannot see clearly. Even though we are Christian, we cannot see clearly. We are blinded. There is a blindness, there's cataract in our eyes. There's spiritual cataract in our eyes. We cannot see at all. We cannot see the spiritual truth concerning our situation. And we are bent over like the woman for so many years, even though you are a Christian. Throughout the four Gospels, Jesus identified the various bondages by delivering specific individuals and the specific spirit of infirmity behind these conditions. A mute person. Jesus healed several mute persons. A mute spirit represents Satan's attempt to stop God's people from declaring the truth. Worship and witness. Speech symbolizes authority and power and creative power. Your speech, your words symbolize creative power, creative authority. And you don't use your speech, you don't use your creative power that is given to you as a child of the living God. Humans made in the image of God are given the power of words. Do you know there are three things I know that Satan is afraid of? I was in demon possession. Satan is afraid of the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan is afraid of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a powerful tool. Satan is afraid of the creative word of God, spoken out from your mouth. How do I know? I was demon possessed. I was demon possessed. These are three things that he's afraid of. You need to speak the creative word. You need to speak the name of Jesus. You need to speak the name of Jesus. You need to speak the word of Jesus. You need to speak the blood of Jesus. You need to plead the blood of Jesus. You are mute. You cannot. Why don't you just open your mouth? Why don't you just open your mouth? Someone who was blind. This mirrors the condition of the soul. Unable to perceive truth. We say, why you cannot? You cannot perceive the spiritual truth. You cannot recognize the authority. You cannot recognize God. You're in church for so long, yet you cannot perceive truth. Blindness signifies ignorance. Signifies unbelief. Signifies separation from God's revelation. God has given you the revelation. You are separated from the revelation. This is so true concerning many of us. It takes an anointing to break that chain. The madman in Gadara. He was known as the demoniac Gadara of Gadara. He was called a man possessed by legion. This describes the condition of a soul. Okay, the madman of Gadara represents a soul tormented by demonic possession. Emotionally shattered being, spiritually isolated, and sometimes even self-destructive. He speaks of mental issues among the people of God. Even in the church, a legion is about 6,000 soldiers. Legion represent many layers of bondages: fear, addiction, lust, anger, shame, guilt, all under demonic influence. Then the word of Jesus confront the power. The word of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus confront the power of the demonic oppression. They have to obey, because Jesus' authority is absolute. I challenge those who are in this condition, just take a little faith, a mustard seed of faith, just a little faith, a little faith. Let out an inner cry, like the man of Gadara, in your soul for help. Just a little faith, let out an inner cry, in your soul for help. Deliverance starts when a person, however broken, turns to Jesus. Just a mustard seed of faith is enough. Jesus rebuked fever. Fever is associated with a consuming heat, representing distress of the body and spirit. You reflect something that is burning inside, not from the fire of God's presence, but from sin, affliction, or judgment. When a soul is distant from God, it becomes inflamed and unrest. Yes. When you are distant from God, you become inflamed and distant from God. Are inflamed with unrest, anger, lust, fear, anxiety, or spiritual fever. How did Jesus heal Peter's mother? By going there. Jesus has to enter the scene personally. Jesus is here. Jesus wants to enter the scene personally in your life. Jesus present. When Jesus steps into Peter's house, our church, the environment changes. Now we have the story of the woman suffering from absolute torment and oppression for 18 years. She was important to Jesus. You are important to Jesus. You are important to Jesus. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. This is the only time in scripture that Jesus called a woman a daughter of Abraham. The daughter of Abraham is not just a speech. It's not just another word. It is a title. It's not just a casual title. It is covenantal. It is covenantal. People in this church, listen to the cry of God. You are a child of God. You are the sons of Abraham. Please remember, you are the sons of Abraham. Whatever situation you are in, you are the sons of Abraham. You have a covenantal relationship with God because of Jesus. What is the meaning? You belong to the covenant family of God. You have the right to God's promises. You are an heir of divine blessing through faith. And I ask you today, just use a little seed of faith. A little faith is enough. And a little faith is enough. Jesus is not describing her nationality. Jesus is declaring her a covenantal identity. The bend over woman was not just a healing story. It was a revelation of identity. She was a daughter of Abraham. She needed to experience her covenantal freedom. Church, you are not defined by your bondage. You allow the bondage to define you. You allow and you agree with the bondage, and you allow the bondage to disturb you. You are not defined by your bondage. You are defined by your belonging. And you belong to God. You have the right to be loose in whatever bondages. Alright. I never forget this story about this man in New York City. He lives on the streets. He's Buang. He lives on the streets. And his clothes were tattered and he was so unkempt. And he was dying. Drugs. No money. And he come to a point that he was controlled by demonic oppression. And he do not know what to do. He just suddenly just cry out. Just one word. God, help me. Jesus, help me. Just a little seed of faith. What happened? He was delivered. And he went to Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. His life started to change. He will become proper. He started to get married, have children. He becomes one of the choir members. Just a little seed of faith. A little seed of faith. Jesus came to set us free. Not from sin, but every bondage kept us from standing upright in faith and purpose in life. Our present condition is a symbolic of how sin, shame, and enemy has bent people down. Today, many are spiritually bent by guilt from the past, bent by fear of the future, bent by burdens of life, bent by mental health issues, bent by oppressions of the devil. But your bondage, I have a word for some of you now. God said, I'm waiting for you to cry out to me in your condition. But you have not. This is my God's word for you. I'm waiting for you to cry out, but you have not. You have not. Your bondage doesn't have to be permanent. It doesn't have to remain with you until the day you die. No bondage is permanent. When Jesus entered the synagogue that day, and Jesus is here in our midst, others oversaw her deformity. Jesus sees her destiny. Jesus didn't wait for her to call out. Jesus called her first. Okay, like just now the word of God. That is the word that God gave me to you. Jesus didn't wait for her to call out. He called her first. Jesus is calling you out today. Calling out today. Why? Grace. Grace. God takes the initiative. So not this woman being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond. Think of it, firstly, she was definitely more important than an ox and a donkey. Secondly, she was, you know, it's a very, the rulers of the synagogue, they are so stupid. Oh, you cannot heal her on a Saturday. They have 6 days of work. After 6 days of work on the Sabbath, then you can heal her. Then Jesus said, you're so hypocrite. When your donkey and your ox needs water, you let loose a string. Right? That is work. You let loose a string. And you allow your donkey and your ox to go to the riverside and drink their water. You can do that, Jesus said. You can do that. But you cannot let this woman that has suffered for 18 years be healed. The leaders of the synagogue wanted to keep the law. This is the problem of the church. The leader of the synagogue said, you must obey the commandment of God. Then you can be blessed. The real problem that day was not the bent woman. The real problem that day was the leader of the synagogue, the pastor of the church. Because in that same law, there was also a covenant of the seed of Abraham that had to be kept. It was not right for a daughter of Abraham to be oppressed by Satan. Satan is an outlaw. The leader of synagogue was concerned with keeping the laws. I think we must forget, we must stop this elder brother spirit. Jesus said there are weightier problems than the law. Justice, mercy, faith. Jesus said, what happened to mercy? Oh, you cannot do that. You must do it on a Saturday. And this woman was banned for 18 years. You wait until Saturday, then you ban her. What if Jesus is not there on Saturday? In another passage of scripture, there was an argument of what was lawful. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I say to you, Jesus said to you, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Verse 12 tells us that Jesus saw her and he called her. He said, woman, you are loosed from infirmity. And he laid in his hand on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. One look, one invitation, one word, one touch, and she was free. Jesus is a bondage breaker. It's assumed that the woman must have attended the synagogue all the days of her life. It is assumed she must have attended the church all the day. You may have attended the church all the days of your life, this church. It amazes us that for 18 years bondage has allowed to stay here. The evil spirit was allowed to remain undisturbed and unchallenged for 18 years. Number 3, the mustard seed of faith. Luke 13:18-19. Then he said, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereon shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man look and cast into his garden. It grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches thereof." What you need today is just a mustard seed of faith. The mustard seed is tiny, one of the smallest known to listeners. Just a little faith. God said, "I just want you to use a little faith today. Can't you just use a little faith today?" This image carries spiritual truth. Exercise the smallest of faith, believing the smallest truth. You are a child of God. You have a covenantal relationship with God. You have a mouth to speak authority. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. And He has planted a seed inside you. And you have allowed the seed to remain dormant, because you have never exercised that faith. And you have never allowed the Word of God to nurture inside you. And God said, "Your little faith," Jesus said, "may seem so insignificant, but do not despise its small beginning. Find comfort in your little faith today." There was another incident when Jesus went to another synagogue. And there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "Let us loose. What have we to do with you, Jesus Nazareth?" That was the devil. "Do you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy Son of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit convulsed and cried out with a voice, he cried out with a voice, he came out. And they were amazed and said, "What is this?" The church is a place where miracles happen. You know, just now when you were worshipping, I sense the presence of God. I sense deliverances of many people. But I also know that a lot of other people are still under bondages. It's a place where miracles can happen in your life. Where Jesus moved like the days of the Bible. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty, there is freedom. We should never accommodate or even tolerate Satan and his work. We should confront him in the authority of the name of Jesus. Of course, the people in the synagogue didn't have the name of Jesus, but we have the name of Jesus today. We have the name of Jesus today. You have the Word of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is Jesus that is in you than the devil that is in this world. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm called, chosen, and loved by God. The Word of God. The Word of God. If only we believe that we are children of God, no matter how serious the oppression or possession, the burdens, the fear, the mental issues, the physical ailment, as sons of Abraham, you should press in with your issues. Believe the Word of God. Exercise your authority and command the bondage to leave. I believe miracles will take place. I believe you have to exercise faith. I'm asking for a little faith. Just open your mouth. "Jesus, help me." You say, "You are greater in me than he that is in this world. I plead your blood of Jesus. I call upon the name of Jesus. Come to Jesus." And Jesus called her, saw her, he called her to him. Jesus is saying to you, "Come here. Come here." Before any kind of healing, there must be response. You can sit on the chair. You can go out, nothing happened. Jesus said, "Come here." When Jesus calls you, you must step forward. Even in your infirmity, your bondages, sickness, oppression, demonic possession. The step of faith opens the door for deliverance. And Jesus lay hand on her. Jesus lay hand on her. And she was made straight. The touch represents a transfer of life. That's why sometimes ministry worker, your touch is the hand of God. You transfer the divine life from God through you to that person. Touch in the scripture signified transfer of the divine life. Jesus' hand released what his word declared. Today, you need the touch of God. The touch comes with authority and intimacy. When the word which I have just preached and the touch come together, deliverance is complete. This is how the bondage breaker works. This is how God restores and instantly. I conclude. Jesus is still the bondage breaker. When Lazarus was wrapped in the grave clothes, he was let loose by Jesus. Jesus too was wrapped in that loose clothes. And the tomb was covered by a big stone. Jesus was there to open Lazarus' tomb when he asked the people to open the tomb. Nobody dared to open the tomb of Jesus. Nobody dared to open the tomb of Jesus because the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, would not allow it. Lazarus died of fever and Jesus raised him back to life. Jesus did not die of fever. Jesus died for the sins of each and every one of us. You know, so that today when Jesus is resurrected, we can experience the bondage breaking. Jesus was resurrected so that whatever sins you committed can be forgiven if you just confess and repent. And has given you power through the Holy Spirit to be freed from any demonic possession. Possession, bondages, sicknesses, mental issues, cancer, etc. Just come to Jesus because he is a bondage breaker. Lazarus was able to come out of the tomb because Jesus called him out. And today, you can come out of your tomb. Get up from the grave. You can come out of your tomb. Because Jesus called you up. Jesus has called you up. Jesus is the bondage breaker. Can we close our eyes? Every eyes closed. Brothers and sisters, there are some of you, God said today, I just need you to exercise a little faith. A little faith. Open your mouth. Plead the blood of Jesus. Call the name of Jesus. And cry to God. Just a little faith. A little faith. God said, I will come in and touch you. I'm coming and perform my miracles for your life. I do not know what you are having. What is your issues? But God wants to do something for your life. Maybe it's sins. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe you have a tremendous burden. You are guilty of something they have done. Yeah. You are guilty of something you have done. That is wrong. Yeah, it's wrong. And you're oppressed by the guilt for so long. And Jesus said, you come. I'll enwrap you with forgiveness. I'll enwrap you with goodness. I'll enwrap you with kindness. I'll cleanse you by my powerful blood. And I'll forgive you. If God has spoken to you, I want you all to stand up. And I want you to respond to the word of God. And I want you to come out. And I want you to exercise that little faith, that little faith. And I want the ministry worker to bring forth the divine hand of God and lay hand on these people. As we sing, you come. As we sing, you come.